Welcome to Total Health Transformation Podcast, hosted by Dr. Danny Scarhill. Dr. Danny is a doctor of chiropractic, an author, speaker, and trainer. And on the THT podcast, he interviews other health experts to glean further insights that will help you achieve total health transformation.
Welcome to the Total Health Transformation Podcast. My name's Dr. Danny Scarhill, the founder of DannyScarhill.com, the author of Total Health Transformation, the proven system to unlock limitless energy, motivation, and health, and the creator of the Total Health Transformation programs. Let's get straight into it on this episode. Welcome to the THT Podcast. I've got another fantastic guest for you, Ana Paula Munoz. And she is a spiritual architect and the creator of Soul Shape, where she supports successful professionals to create a strong foundation for your spiritual practice so that you can embody your power centers and create the life you're destined to lead. The beautiful meld between a master's in architecture, energy healing, including sacred geometry, Reiki, meditation, chakra balancing, embodiment, yoga certification, and advanced leadership training. This creates a powerful combination where Ana Paula is able to design a sacred space for you to expand, envision, and create your most inspired and empowered version of you. Ana Paula is continuously creating life design personalized retreats with sacred geometry activations around the world. Welcome to the THT podcast, Ana Paula. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you so much for having me. It's really an honor to be here.
Oh, you're most welcome. So tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you get to where you are today?
Absolutely. So I guess I'll just start off with my transition from architecture into what I do now. And so my whole life, I was following all the steps to, what was the good thing or the right thing to do. And what that meant was getting the career in architecture. I was really good at art, and I am really good at art, and I'm very creative. So I went into that, and it was very natural for me, and at the same time, very intense. And I was very intense. Like, I had a lot of that more intense fire when I was in my architecture career. So I went to one of the best schools, and then I went to grad school, and then I worked for a really famous, amazing architect. His name is Frank Gehry. And I was there for a couple of years, and then really started to tap into myself and see, wow, okay, this isn't it for me. Like, there's other ways in which I get to contribute and give to the world where I get to give even more of me and give more of my presence and share my gifts in a different way. So, I mean, the big moment was when I went up the stairs into Frank's office and basically just shared with him that my heart, my passion was somewhere else. And that even though, you know, this is one of the top offices and top architecture firms in the world, that it just, like, architecture wasn't my dream anymore. And it wasn't the way that I wanted to contribute. And he just could see it in my eyes, or felt it somehow, that he just saw, okay, yeah, you know, her passion is truly somewhere else. And as a passionate man himself in architecture, he's dedicated his whole life to it, he could see that the importance of truly following your heart. And he encouraged me to, you know, go whatever direction was expansive for me. And I did. So a couple of months later, maybe like 6 months later, I aligned everything to my vision and the way that I wanted to support people. And it's for, it's like what you shared right now. You know, I support high performing women that are ready to take their life to the next level and get past any blocks or limitations, especially like personality patterns that get in the way of actually being yourself. So there's a lot of patterns that come up, and I'm really like, I don't know if it's my architect mind or what, but I'm very masterful at pinpointing and seeing what are the patterns that are alive in someone, that are running someone's life, and how can we begin to shift that to really see, okay, who are they really? Like, what is their true essence or their true expression of self? And we get to go deep in that way. And when I do the one-on-one coaching, for example.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's been quite an expansive journey you've been on there, isn't it?
Yeah, it has been.
So quite recently, you did a program about burnout, didn't you? Which was very good, yes. I might add.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So if somebody was thinking that they might be burnt out, for example, how might they identify that? And are there different levels or stages of burnout as well?
Yes. So the first thing is really noticing if you're no longer enjoying something you used to really enjoy, right? And then, and like almost as if someone turned off the lights to something you used to love. And it feels very like gray and gloomy. And then from there, you get to start seeing, okay, are there ways in which you create structures in your life that kind of sabotage your capacity to be generative in energy, so that things that you're doing and doing and doing every day, like you just get stuck in the doing and you kind of cycle in that space. So your energy keeps leaking out and going out, and there's no time for you to recuperate or take care of yourself and come back into balance. And, you know, the biggest thing about burnout is it's almost as if our culture is encouraging us to keep pushing and keep doing, because there's so much of this achievement culture and ways that we're brought up is, you know, applause for achievement, applause for getting to that next level, applause for all of this, and not necessarily for things that maybe can't be measured, right? Like connection and relationship and vulnerability. So when you're so stuck in the doing, you forget about that. You forget about the value of connecting to another human, and then you get in this space and you don't know why you feel stuck and why everything feels sad, and it gets dark. and also there's a toll on the body, right? So the body begins to show symptoms, and it could go pretty far in one direction where all of a sudden, like, you know, it's painful to move, or there's high levels of inflammation in the body. Or you might start getting a ton of migraines, or certain things will start hurting that didn't before. Your digestion might go out of whack. And I'm not a doctor, and I'm not, you know, prescribing anything or saying anything like that, but just notice the effect, like your emotions and your daily routine in life has a big effect on the health and well-being of your body too. So it's all connected. And I think it's really important to just get clear on that too.
Absolutely, for sure. Yeah. So have you been burnt out on more than one occasion yourself? Like, have you got personal experience?
Yes, absolutely. When I was in that phase of architecture, so I feel like during architecture school, I kept driving and pushing and pushing and pushing. And I got used to high levels of stress and not a lot of sleep. So in architecture school, you are encouraged to not sleep and pull all-nighters and do that multiple times a day. And it's almost like a badge of like, oh yeah, like I pulled an all-nighter for this. and it's so accepted and almost like needed. And then going into the career, it kind of crosses over. And yeah, you get paid to kind of do the same thing, which is not healthy. And you're in this continuous cycle of burning out. So yeah, that's what happened to me. I would go into work and not know exactly when I was going to leave. especially if there's a competition or something like that that has high urgency and it's a team project. So it builds another layer of necessity. Like you have to be there because you must and you've been trained to. And there's also that team responsibility that you're almost like seen poorly or as a bad employee if you don't stay until pretty late at night. And I know that this isn't just unique to architecture, but yeah, that is kind of like the behind the scenes of architects and many creatives, I guess. But I know this happens in the tech world and the finance world. So it's a thing that's very encouraged and very unhealthy and unsustainable. So if we catch it and we see it, we could either, like, if you're listening to this right now and you're seeing, oh my gosh, like this happens in my work culture, like it's an opportunity for you to also bring it up or for you to see, wow, okay, how can I be the catalyst for shifting this? Because an unhappy workplace or a workplace that's burnt out is not going to produce the best results, right? So even from a, or if you're a CEO listening and thinking, oh, wow, I think my employees might be feeling this, like that's a huge opportunity to start shifting some things and really start caring about the well-being of the employees, because it will shift even, like it will shift your bottom line for sure. So there's so much there and your likability and the retainment of your employees as well. So there's so much linked to this. I know I went a little bit off your question, but
that's okay. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I mean, that's what you described is rife in the whole corporate world, isn't it? So yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. It's not just architecture for sure.
Yeah.
Do you know, on your journey over the years, most of us who were working in kind of peak performance are always looking for that next level of health, aren't we? So what were the biggest or some of the biggest lessons you learned over the years in your quest for health, if you like?
Health overall or like health for my body?
It can be both.
Yeah. So I've had an interesting relationship with health, in terms of my body, because of that same intensity would drive me to then create like going the extreme healthy, you know, like way too much. And then, I've never been the extreme, not healthy, but yeah, just like becoming like super nerdy about like optimizing my body and optimizing my well-being. And that can also get into that same pattern of rigidity. And it's kind of running on the same thing that the burnout is running on, but it's a different thing that you're creating there. And some of it is like quest for perfection kind of things. And some of it is just like creating a rigid framework because you're scared of what could happen if you're not in that framework. But the biggest thing that has shifted my health and my well-being and that has just enhanced everything in my life has been my spiritual growth and really diving deep into my pattern work and seeing what's driving these sensations of urgency or creating the rigid structures in my life. And how can I begin to soften all of that to shift and allow myself to feel more? Because what happens when you're running on the doing, you almost disconnect from your body and have difficulty actually feeling your body because you're so used to thinking about your body and thinking about other things that you're just in the head. And the biggest thing that can transform so much is just coming back into the heart, coming back into the body, feeling your lower belly, you know, and just reconnecting with these different energetic points within you so that you can see and experience yourself in your body in a full and whole way. And then seeing, okay, there are certain things that come up, there are certain patterns that come up, a bunch of things that could come up that take you out of your body, and then just becoming aware. So really practicing with your awareness, practicing with spiritual practice, and which is also an awareness practice, and really allowing that to bring you back in. Because yeah, more than what you eat and all that, it's more the level of awareness in which you treat your body and treat your whole self. Yeah.
Absolutely. Cool. So I know you've done, and I think you teach some meditation as well, don't you? What kind of meditation do you do, and what do you get out of it personally?
Personally, yeah, okay. Yeah. So I do teach meditation right now in a membership that I have called Peaceful Hearts Collective. And I do daily meditations on there. It's shifting a little bit. So by the time people are listening to me right now, it might be a little different. But we do daily meditations, and they are channeled meditations. So it is, so the way that I see things spiritually, and this might get really out there for some of you, but stay with me, is I see without my eyes, basically. So I close my eyes, and then it's almost as if what comes next, or what I get to speak about in the meditation, is being shown in like an inner TV or something. And I literally describe what's showing up, and it's very tangible, and there's senses involved in what I'm seeing. And then I just share it. And always the intention of this group is to come back into the heart, from the head to the heart. And it's just this daily practice of coming back in, and it's 10, 15 minutes per day. And it doesn't take so much, and it could even be less for you if you know, you're stretched on time. And just having this little reminder or a little pop-up on your phone could be so supportive of just saying, hey, you know, quick check-in. Where are you right now? Like, what's your awareness? Where is your awareness? And come back into the body. And just doing these little glimpses. So one of my teachers, Lot Kelly, he does these things called glimpses, that you glimpse back into you. You notice where you are at in different times of the day, even if you're in the line at the grocery store, you know, just like, okay, I'm going to do a quick glimpse of just like, okay, where am I? Let's come back in. And he explains these very beautifully in his different books. But yeah, it could just take a few glimpses or a few moments for you to come back into center. Of course, if you have more time, like 10 to 15 minutes, then coming into a beautiful meditation really helps as well. But yeah, there's many different types of meditation, because I know that there's probably someone listening saying, oh, I've tried meditation, it doesn't work for me, or whatever. That's totally fine. And there's a lot of types. So there's types where they're not guided, that you get to sit in silence, you get to feel everything around you, you get to feel everything outside of you. You're not trying necessarily to remove things from your head. You're just wanting to sit in stillness with all of it, with all that is, and accept all of it and love all of it, right? And sometimes when you have a very quick mind, or there's anxiety or a lot of to-dos, you might be getting a ton of intrusive thoughts. And that's normal at first, you know? And then slowly you'll begin to see them almost like you are the sky and these thoughts are birds passing by, right? And it creates this inner stillness where you are the foundation. You are the, like, your heart and your body is able to support all that could come your way. And you become this unshakable essence, this unshakable being that can exist in the world, even if there's a lot of chaos going on around you, which, you know, this is a prime time for experiencing some of that.
Oh, for sure. I loved your analogy about us being the sky and the thoughts being birds flying by. Really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. So in terms of your inspirations to do the spiritual work that you do now, who were your role models over the years, and who do you look up today? Who do you look up to today in that respect?
Yeah. I've had a lot of different spiritual teachers. Okay. So yeah, I'll start with, so there's some that you won't know. So I won't mention their names, but the ones that you do know, I'll mention them, because there's places where you could find them, basically, if there's anyone interested. My journey started with I mean, I was very awakened as a little girl. And then, but when I started going deeper through reading and things like that, that's how it started for me. Maybe as a teen, when I was like, I want more than what I feel already. And that started more with, books like Return to Love by Marianne Williamson, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. Like those are like classics, or Michael Singer's, Untethered Soul. And I just read his Surrender Experiment, which is so good too. And then especially for high performers, actually, Surrender Experiment. Yeah. Check it out. It's crazy. And then, and then later I got way more into like the scientific side of things. So Dr. Joe Dispenza is like amazing. Love, love, love his work. Also Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Dr. Sue Mortar, Lynn McTaggart. And now like I'm currently doing advanced energy practitioner training, which is Luminous at Luminous Awareness Institute. And so there, the leaders are Annalisa Adelberg and Raina. And it is Raina DeLeer. And it's like something I've never experienced before, like the level of mastery that these teachers have and the way that they teach and express and live their work is really powerful. So no matter where you are in the process, like you will find the right teacher for you. And for me, it's this constant journey of, you know, continuing the work and doing more work on myself, going deeper on myself. Like, yes, I'm in the Luminous training right now. It's a 2-year training. And then in addition to that, I'm also, you know, doing a lot of session work with other practitioners and a lot of deep internal work outside of it. So there's still, there's so many facets of us that we get to keep exploring. And I mean, for me, it's super important to continue that because the more that I go and the deeper that I go, the more space that I'm able to hold for all of my clients. And that's a priority to me. So it's a priority for my own awakening and development, and also to be able to support clients in a much deeper way. So yeah, that was a long question, but there's a lot of people that are big influencers.
That's good. Yeah. So yeah. I interviewed Bruce Lipton a year or two ago on this show, actually.
Oh,
he's an amazing guy. Amazing.
Yeah.
Cool. So I loved what you were saying about continual learning. It reminded me of what a mate of mine said to me years ago. Every day is a school day. We're constantly living and learning, aren't we?
Yes, exactly.
Certainly exactly. Best recommended to keep learning anyway, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, and the more that you're learning, the more that you're growing, you're expanding and you're experiencing. And that's why we're here, you know, to truly, fully feel and experience life. And we're going to make mistakes along the way and all of this. But the way to experience life the most is coming back into the body, you know, like truly embodiment. And what blocks that is being in the head too much. So you get to notice, like, are you stuck in your head most of the time? And if so, that's limiting your experience of life. So it's so important. And I feel really passionate about this because like there are so many paths in to coming back into your body than just one. So don't think that it has to look like meditation or just has to look like prayer or it has to look with this one spiritual teacher. No, like some people feel deep meditation when they're doing a sport, right? Like, and they're able to reach certain spaces and like, there's so many different doorways. So whoever's listening out there, like there is a doorway for you and there's a path.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Cause I was speaking to a friend yesterday and, meditation can be different things for different people, can't it? As you just alluded to there, whether it be going for a run, going dancing, walking your dog, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
It's just important that we enjoy what we choose to do, isn't it? Otherwise, we're not going to do it persistently.
Exactly. Yeah. And staying consistent with it is really important too, because that establishes even a deeper level of self-trust with yourself. Self-trust, but it's so important, because if we keep breaking our word to ourselves, we start creating a dynamic or relationship where it's difficult to stay on track with what we really want, and difficult to stay on track with our own self-care, because we're prioritizing whatever's out there, or prioritizing the doing or the work or, you know, another person. And it's just giving away this commitment to ourselves. So it's important to just look at what's happening now and just take a look and become aware of, oh, maybe I'm doing that a little too much, or maybe this could. So I'm a big fan of checking out what's going on, becoming aware without judgment, and then seeing, okay, is this really working towards what I want to create in my life or not? Right.
Yeah. Nice. I like it. So, do you know, in the world today, it's impossible for people not to notice what's going on in the world today. It's crazy, isn't it, with the amount of, the levels of fear are unprecedented. On that note, how important is it to maintain and strive for a positive mindset in terms of optimal health?
So the importance of a positive mindset for optimal health, like optimal health or optimal well-being overall?
Can be both.
Okay. So, okay, here's the thing though. So yes, positive mindset is super important. And it's also important to not just bypass things, you know, just because, oh, I'm going to be positive about it, so I'm going to spiritually bypass all of the things that are going on, or I'm not going to touch the things that hurt, or I'm not going to feel that because that's sad. And if that's sad, then that's bad. You know, that's not true. So I feel like, yes, it's important to stay positive and stay aligned with the vision while allowing yourself to fully feel what's happening in your life. If you're feeling grief, if you're feeling rage, if you're feeling frustration, if you're feeling overwhelmed, whatever it is that you're feeling right now is valid. And it's so important to express it. And it's so important in a safe container, right? It's so important for you to release all of that. And maybe it looks like screaming in your car, or maybe it looks like punching a pillow, whatever that is for you. It's so important that you actually get to do it. So, and then once you've released and once you've diffused that inner bomb, you're able to come back into your own balance. That part of you got to express and it got to be heard, and you're not just putting it under the rug. And then you can be like, okay, what kind of life do I really want to lead? Is it one of positive outlook? Is it one of beauty? Is it one of harmony? Is it one of creativity? And probably you want happiness in your life, hopefully. And if you do, then you'd want to take the actions that encourage that, that are aligned with that higher vision, right? But do not bypass any feelings that you might be having, because yeah, right now the world is a bit chaotic and everyone is experiencing something different because it's different for each being. And it's so important to know that your feelings, like the ones that are just yours, whatever it is, even if you feel like it's some petty thing, it gets to exist and it's okay and it matters and you get to express it. So I'm a yes to positivity, and I'm a yes to feeling all of it and letting all of the parts of you be welcome in your reality.
I like it. Well said.
Thanks.
Good stuff. So over the next year in the work that you do, have you got any big plans? What are your plans for the upcoming year?
Yes, I do actually. So I'm in collaboration with one of my business partners, and it's a different business. We are launching an online platform that I can't share everything yet, but it's going to be really, really powerful in supporting people find what's aligned for them, like what their journey is. And And yeah, I can't share more right now, unfortunately, but it's a huge endeavor and it's really exciting. And I'd love to share more. Like if you guys follow me now, you'll definitely get the info as things come out and things will start coming out and like being released a little bit later this year, maybe late December. And then we're having a soft opening in January. So things are already very much in motion and it's going to be, yeah, very transformational. So that's one big thing. The other thing is, I mean, other parts of my own personal business going forward is a course that's on consistent flow. So supporting people that are in burnout to be able to find a way to create with flow without feeling that rigidity and that intensity that we've been conditioned to believe. So it's really identifying the patterns and being able to shift from those patterns that either push away, don't like to receive support and still really want support, or the patterns that are very much in the rigid structure, to shift into more of the feminine, delightful, sensual ways of creating. And it's a completely different way to be and to create in the world. So it's going to be a program and that's going to launch in the next few months too. So there's two different magical things coming up and I'm really excited about that. And hopefully you guys, if the borders open up, there will be retreats again because I love leading retreats. And there's definitely a few in the works, like a couples retreat. Yeah. And then a couple of more women's like goddess and reclamation experiences. So yeah.
Well, sounds very exciting.
I get really excited about it.
You've got a busy year coming up. Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I know you're really busy, Anna Paola. So thank you so much for taking out the time to be on the THC podcast with us today.
Yes. Thank you so much for inviting me, Danny. This was really beautiful to meet you and to get to connect with your audience. And yeah, thank you so much. I hope this was of value to everyone.
Absolutely. For sure. I can speak for everybody. It was for sure.
Awesome.
Where's the best place people can find you online if they want to reach out and connect with you?
Yeah, the best place right now, we're updating my website. So let's try Instagram. So Instagram will be the absolute best place. And I'm at soulshape.me. So that's SOUL shape, SHAP.me. And then my website, once it's complete, right now it's like in between phases. You can still look at it, but there's still things happening there. Maybe by the time this launches, they'll be done with it. But it's Ana Paola Muñoz, my full name.com. And you can also find me on Facebook and friend me, send me a message, let me know that you heard this. And I'd be happy to connect. I love connecting with people and getting to know what landed for you and getting to know you a little bit better, like what's going on in your life and how you might be wanting support. Yeah.
Excellent. Thanks again, Ana Paola. It's been fantastic.
You're welcome. Yeah, thank you so much, Danny. I appreciate you.
You've been listening to the THT podcast with myself, Dr. Danny Scarhill. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Podbean, or any one of the other outlets where we stream. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/totalhealthtransformation. You can also find more information about myself on my website, dannyscarhill.com, where you'll find lots of fantastic information and some free products for you as well. Look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Take care. All the best.
You've been listening to Dr. Danny Scarhill on the Total Health Transformation Podcast, helping you to eat, move, and think on purpose. See you on our next episode.